Second hour at Aaron, Donick, and Chase here on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Don't forget our pregame show this Sunday, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. 2 hours getting you ready for Titans and Jags kickoff at Nissan Stadium. Our pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by RumbleOn.com, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Of course, that show will feature Jared Stillman, former Titans general manager Floyd Reese, and forever Titan, that's what he wants to be called, Chris Sanders. Now we say hello and good morning to the president and CEO of the Tennessee Titans. Burke Nihil is on the line with us. Burke, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me on this morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. So you get the good news in the last 24 to 48 hours that you guys, after this game on Sunday, starting in October, where you're getting to get some home games right out of the gates, one with Pittsburgh early October, where you can start housing fans in the stands. Take us up to this point where you got the news where it's this Sunday you can't get anything, but they're going to start with that game against Pittsburgh. What do you, up to 7,000, I guess, is the number we're hearing for that game?
Yeah, it's 10% of our bowl capacity with the limited capacity in private suites, which comes out to about 7,000 fans. The story really starts back in March when COVID first unfortunately arrived in Nashville, and everyone from our facility went and started working from home. And looking ahead, we realized there was the possibility that if the virus was still around come fall, we were going to have to make some pretty dramatic changes to how we would execute a game day. And so we assembled a team of it was probably 40 or 50 employees from all different parts of our organization, from the stadium operations team to our ticketing team, our safety and security team, and brought in outside vendors, brought in some health officials, and we started meeting once a week, sometimes several times a week, just reimagining what a game experience at Nissan Stadium would look like in a COVID-19 era. So we've been preparing for this announcement for coming up on 8 or 9 months at this point, and we will be ready.
Were you disappointed it's taken this long? Were you disappointed you weren't able to house fans in your first home game, this game this Sunday? Or, I mean, what were your thoughts on at first not being able to have anybody there for this home game?
Disappointed, absolutely, in the sense that, of course, we want to be able to welcome fans. We want the natural energy of fans being in the building, but also understanding and respectful of the process and the mayor's decision for our September game. The mayor mentioned, and he was absolutely right, that this was not a Nashville response to the pandemic. It was a national response to the pandemic. You know, most of our sister clubs had the same response, that at least for the first week of the season, they were going to host the game without fans. There's only four venues that from week one will have fans in the stands. As the weeks have proceeded, now I think there's up to eight venues that will have fans beginning with the second or third week. So we were disappointed to not be able to invite people in and do what we do with a natural game day environment, but absolutely respected the mayor's decision.
Yeah, no, I understand what we're in. I think it was just, my whole thing has been at least give you guys a chance to pull it off. You know, give anybody and everybody at least a chance to pull it off and do it safely and do it the right way. You know, and that's what you're going to get now. But I would have, me personally, like to see if you guys were able to do that. And if you can't, then you can't. And everybody says, okay, you tried, but you couldn't pull it off safely. But that's probably why I asked if you were disappointed.
Yeah, and I would say that we were ready. And so if very suddenly we could, you know, magically distribute 7,000 tickets for this Sunday and get fans into the stands this Sunday, we would be ready to provide a safe and comfortable experience for the fans who attend. But the reality is we can only control what happens within our four walls. And so while we're ready, Nashville wasn't ready. And we understand that when 7,000 people are being drawn to a single location, that's a regional implication during a pandemic. And so we were respectful of the fact that it was more about the regional and the citywide implications of 7,000 people traveling to our games, as opposed to whether or not it was a safe experience once they actually got there, which I'm confident that the health department and the mayor would agree with us that we would have been ready this weekend. It was just that Nashville wasn't ready.
Yeah, Burke Nihill on the line with us, president and CEO of the Titans. So hopefully it'll start at 10% and just keep going up. So with that being said, in October, what are the challenges of hosting something in these unusual times?
Well, it's a challenge that we're certainly ready for, but you know, we've got to be ready from the moment that a fan drives into the parking lot to be sure that we're enforcing our protocols. So it starts with being sure that everyone is honoring and respecting the mask mandate. Everyone's going to be expected to wear a mask from the time they get on the campus until the time they leave, other than when they're actively eating and drinking. And so we'll have about a 20-to-1 fan to enforcement personnel ratio around the campus and inside the stadium, you know, asking people to respect those rules and keep their masks up. We'll have those same enforcement personnel paying attention to social distancing at our gates. We've got some creative bike racking and floor clings up so that each individual party will be able to kind of go station to station as they work their way towards the magnetometers and get through the magnetometers into the stadium. Same for concessions. We'll have floor clings and people being sure that a group isn't crowding up on the group in front of them and maintaining social distancing. So we've got our work cut out for us. But as I said, we've been preparing for it for 8 or 9 months, and we'll be ready.
We're talking to Burke Nihill, who is the CEO of the Tennessee Titans, and they have the home opener coming up against the Jaguars on Sunday. So, Burke, I try to envision what it would be like to be the person enforcing the protocols. It probably wouldn't be the most fun job in the world, but who actually is doing that? Is it just the workers that normally have it for the stadium? How much do they need to be briefed on how to go about doing it, the right tact and all that stuff? Or are these people that have experience in security in the past and that sort of thing?
No, it's mostly redeploying the same security and enforcement personnel that would typically be in the building for a 65,000-69,000 person event, bringing those same people in similar numbers, and rather than just being sure that people are finding their way to their seats and not crowding the vomitories and the other things that they're paying attention to, now we're adding to their plate the idea of patrolling the aisles and looking for people that are not honoring the rules and asking them to enforce the rules.
So, Burke, what are some of the other things that you guys have done? Because I've noticed you guys have been very active, trying to stay connected with the fans as the season starts. There's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of excitement because this team really looks like it's got a chance to be very, very good.
Absolutely. Gil Beverly, Jen Hinkle, Surf Melendez, our marketing and creative team have just knocked it out of the park. I think that's a statement generally for our organization. During this pandemic, it's been so impressive. Our leadership team is just so pleased with how everyone has, you know, in a very unusual work environment, raised their game. And I think we've seen with the marketing efforts during our Titans kickoff week a prime example of that. Because you know, people working from their kitchen tables and apartments have collaborated to do some really outstanding things around town. We had a pop-up shop that was socially distanced that sold out of some unique Titans gear maybe just an hour and a half or so after it opened last week, or I guess it was 2 weeks ago now. We had some drive-in movie theater experiences showing Remember the Titans. My personal favorite is the mural across from the Music City Center. If you haven't seen it, it is just spectacular. In terms of its art and its connection to Nashville and to the Titans, that team is just absolutely knocking it out of the park.
Burke, how much control do you guys have of the game day experience, and how much does the league sort of say, okay, here's how much crowd noise we want put in there? Is there a formula, or is there going to be a little creativity and a little trial and error of what works well in such a unique set of circumstances, especially you mentioned Surf. Melendez, he's brand new on the job. I know you're really excited to hire him, and he won't be able to go full force with the full crowd there, but this has got to be a unique challenge.
Yes, it is a unique challenge. In terms of the crowd noise specifically, the league actually curated audio from every individual stadium so that there's audio that is unique to specific stadium experiences and packaged it up and sent it to each individual venue. And there are absolutely rules about maximum decibel levels and that sort of thing. You know, I got to experience it firsthand in Denver. They had, I think, 250 people in the stands, not enough to make authentic crowd noise. And it was interesting during timeouts. They would turn it down, and you'd recognize what silence sounded like, and then it would turn up the ambient noise. And it was really mostly just, I would describe it as something of a hush type crowd noise. It wasn't, you know, kind of massive loud cheering like if somebody was breaking off a big play or that sort of thing. But it was enough to not be distracting to be playing through total silence. But the league has some careful rules on that, so there's not a competitive imbalance across the stadiums. And in terms of the rest of the game day experience, it'll look pretty similar in terms of what would go up on a Jumbotron, even next weekend or this coming weekend. Even though there won't be fans there to see it, it's an opportunity to give the players a chance to feel something like they would typically experience at Nissan Stadium, and get the production team ready for the week after, where we will have fans in the stands.
Burke Nyhill is with us, the president and CEO of the Tennessee Titans, here in Darren, Donick, and Chase. Now, I know that you were instrumental in helping bring the draft to our city last year, and we're always asking, okay, what's next? We're the it city. We do all these big things, and now that you're in your new role with the Titans, I'll ask you that question. What is your vision for what is next, not only for your organization, but for the city as a whole?
Well, let's start with Amy Adams-Strunk. There's no question that the pivot point for this organization was when she stepped into her role as controlling owner. She has very high expectations for every aspect of her organization, and she first turned her attention to the football operation, and I think, you know, she would tell you that nothing short of a Super Bowl is fully satisfying, but I think her work over the last 5 years in hiring John Robinson and Mike Vrabel have taken the football organization to a totally different place than it was when she stepped into her role. And she's starting to turn her attention to the business side over the last 2 or 3 years. And so the expectations for the business are much, much higher. I think if you go back probably 4 or 5 years ago, I don't know that the Titans have the audacity to try to bid for the draft. And not only did we bid for the draft, but we expected that the Nashville Titans draft bid would be the best that the NFL receives. And if they ultimately chose a different city, that would be on them. But we not only submitted it, but expected to be the best bid in the package. And then once the draft was awarded, certainly, you know, we can't take full credit. Butch Spearden and his team and the NFL events group were just incredible in terms of the work that they put into the event. But, you know, where we supported it, the expectation was that if we're going to get a draft, let's have it be the best one ever. And I think there aren't many that would argue that was the final result. So those high expectations, you can just scan everything in the organization from marketing, you know, to the stadium. It's something where Amy's going to want to be, you know, a first-class organization and to be the best version of ourselves. So we'll continue to chip away at every part of our organization and meet Amy's expectations.
Well, you did say the key word there that I was going to bring up. The stadium, Nissan Stadium, is now over 20 years old. I grew up here. I remember when it wasn't there. And you see some of these new venues that are opening across the NFL. You know how this works, that it evolves over time. So how many conversations have been had of what is going to be next for Nissan Stadium? Is it more of a renovation? Is it, let's look at maybe a new stadium here in the next few years or so? But how would you answer that?
Yeah, we haven't talked a lot about it publicly, but no question, we understand the importance of figuring out what Nissan Stadium is going to look like for the next generation of Titans fans, and it's a stadium that we're proud of. It's a location that we're thrilled with, but it's getting a little long in the tooth, and so we have had conversations, for at least a couple of years about what the next version of Nissan Stadium might look like. Amy's been very forthright about the fact that she does not anticipate a new stadium, and that's in large part because this again is it's a unique location. If you're traveling to away games, almost every time you're pulling off of a highway out in the suburbs somewhere or some remote location in a city, and to be so close to the nerve center of downtown Nashville, we just wouldn't want to be anywhere else. And so I think there are ways to look at Nissan Stadium and think about how you could make it a thoughtful first class venue that is enhances the reputation of Nashville, is a wonderful place to watch a game and a concert and other things like that, without necessarily going feature for feature with SoFi Stadium. SoFi Stadium is a multi-billion dollar project, and that's probably not in the future of Nashville Football Stadium. But we think there's ways to get there in terms of creating this first-class, thoughtful venue short of SoFi Stadium-type development.
So when you see some of these plans, and these are rumors and plans, there's nothing that's definitive when it comes to a baseball team coming to town, but there are renderings of a retractable roof stadium. I mean, obviously that's going to bring different events. Would it be a thought from you guys that if that were to happen, well, we want to get some of those events in our venue. How can we make that happen?
Well, let's start here with I think you go back 10 or 15 years, and Nissan Stadium hosted Titans games, the Music City Bowl, CMA Fest, and maybe a few concerts if someone happened to call. And part of Amy's charge in terms of being a first-class operation is to make our stadium as active as possible. And last year we had 1.2 million people come through our doors for a record number of events. We had more non-Titans events than Titans events. And next year we're on pace to be much higher than that. You may have seen the announcement earlier this week about the IndyCar series that will be coming to Nissan Stadium, the Music City Grand Prix. It's exactly the sort of thing that that Amy's expecting for us to be doing in terms of leveraging this community asset that is Nissan Stadium. So in terms of events, believe it or not, with the number of Titans games and other sorts of events at the stadium, there's really not a whole lot more activity that can be supported. We end up having to turn away a lot of events just because the stadium schedule is already so crowded and it's a natural grass field and that sort of thing. In terms of baseball, certainly it's an exciting possibility. I personally am a big baseball fan, Cubs fan, and so I'm still basking in the glow of the 2016 World Series. That said, I do think there's some confusion in the market about where the stadium would be located. It won't be at Nissan Stadium, but I know they're looking for other venues and excited to see if they're able to put all the pieces together with a franchise and, figuring things out with the sounds. We'll be excited to see if they can pull it all together.
Burke, when you say confusion with the stadium, I know there was a rendering that kind of stuck a baseball stadium between the football stadium and the bridges over there. Is that what you're referring to? I've always wondered as I live pretty close to there. When I drive by there, I try to envision it. That would seem to be a tight squeeze.
Yeah, I think so. And a good chunk of that is actually, that is Nissan Stadium. It's not the building itself, of course, but it's on our campus. And they've been very, I think, open and transparent about the fact that it was an illustration and they're considering a number of possible sites for the stadium. But yes, that's what I'm referring to when I say confusion.
Burke, really appreciate you doing this. Just so I've got this straight, the open wheel cars, you're not going to let them actually come onto the field, right? They're just going to go over the bridge. Like you said, Nissan Stadium, you're not going to let them on the field.
No, sir. But okay. It will be spectacular. There will be opportunities to turn our East Club into suites to look out on the track. And
that's awesome.
The parking lots will be a festival-like atmosphere, and we're hoping it's a staple at the stadium for years to come. Special event.
Now that we know you're a Cubs fan, you're going to have to get together with Casey Alexander, who we had on yesterday, who's Belmont men's basketball coach. He's a huge Cubs fan.
Is that right?
Yeah, you guys can rub it in my face as an Indians fan. You can just give it to me like he does all the time.
Hey, you had us there in that World Series, but we're glad the Cubs were able to pull it off.
Yeah, and then what did they do the last couple of days? Did the same thing. It felt like 2016 all over again. It was painful as the Cubs pulled out some late victories over the Indians. Hey, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Best of luck this season, and we look forward to talking to you down the road.
Sounds good. Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, that is Burke Nihil. He is the president and CEO of the Tennessee Titans. We'll come back and react to some things you heard there on the other side. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, it's a challenge that we're certainly ready for, but we've got to be ready from the moment that a fan drives into the parking lot to be sure that we're enforcing our protocols. So it starts with being sure that everyone is honoring and respecting the mask mandate. Everyone's going to be expected to wear a mask from the time they get on the campus until the time they leave, other than when they're actively eating and drinking. And so we'll have about a 20-to-1 fan to enforcement personnel ratio around the campus and inside the stadium, asking people to respect those rules and keep their masks up. We'll have those same enforcement personnel paying attention to social distancing at our gates. We've got some creative bike racking and floor clings up so that each individual party will be able to kind of go station to station as they work their way towards the magnetometers and get through the magnetometers into the stadium. Same for concessions. We'll have floor clings and people being sure that a group isn't crowding up on the group in front of them and maintaining social distancing. So we've got our work cut out for us, but as I said, we've been preparing for it for 8 or 9 months, and we'll be ready.
There you go. Some of our discussion we just had with Burke Nihil of the Titans, our president and CEO, back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase here on this Friday. You just made the list coming up at high noon. According to last night's text to the group, Chase is ready and raring to go.
I'm very ready.
He is fired up. And a usual suspect, I think, is where he is going to direct his anger. But
yeah,
we'll just
we got another one. Another story.
We'll leave that for noon. So what stood out to you guys?
Well, that was one that they are ready. He said, I think 20-to-1 is the ratio. So one person will be responsible for checking out 20 people, which is a great ratio, I think. That's realistic that you could keep an eye on people. And hopefully you don't have to be hounding people throughout the whole day. Hopefully people get with the program and know that they're one of the fortunate few to be able to go to these games. They want to be there. So hopefully they're doing the right things and it's not a big deal. But there's always a few, right, that you might have to nudge a few times. So I was excited to hear that. I'm really encouraged by the direction it's going here, really in a lot of different respects. But as he said, they could roll it out right now and be ready to go on Sunday if given the green light. But, what's done is done. The other thing is he revealed a couple of things long term that I thought were worth noting. On the baseball group that's putting things together. And as I suspected, having the stadium tucked in there right next to Nissan Stadium, that's really not realistic, it looks like. And as he said, it's on our campus, so I don't know what I don't know why they even did that. But I also didn't hear kind of we'd be interested in hearing about a partnership or partnering up and seeing what can be done, not closing off any avenues. He didn't really go there. But he also said, Chase, with one of the questions that you asked about Nissan Stadium itself, is it sounds like the vision is to upgrade what they've got and not rebuild a brand new thing.
Very disappointing.
Well, and that's status quo, though. I mean, that's what...
I don't know about status quo. I mean, Madison Square Garden, they put a ton of money into that, and it looks awesome now compared to what it did before. So, like, I can see a massive renovation. It just wouldn't have the retractable roof, the grand slam that all of our wildest dreams have.
What I mean by status quo is that's the message that has come out, from that organization, from the Titans. I mean, Amy Adams-Strunk, when asked about it, I mean, there's all these comparisons to Miami and what Miami did with their stadium, that's more along the lines of what they would want to do. So that's kind of what they've been saying for the last couple of years, and he's stuck to it.
And that changes nothing, by the way.
It changes nothing.
The Miami model changes absolutely nothing here, other than it probably looks prettier. But it, like, for the future of this city and this market and things that we can house, that model does absolutely nothing for this market. Nothing.
Yeah, you don't get a Super Bowl. And that's,
well, you don't get anything. It doesn't change anything. You don't get a national championship game. You don't get a Final Four. You don't get a college playoffs. Anything right. that we could list. It doesn't change anything.
But their priority is the Titans. I understand that. And it would be a better place for the Titans fans.
But I don't understand that.
I thought their priority would be to make money.
Right.
And make money for the city, because the city also pays a lot, right? Don't they? So making money for the city, wouldn't that be important?
Yeah, and that's my thing. That's why I say I don't understand that, because it's, yeah, they're the tenant. It's the Titans. That's where they play, and that's, you know, why you go there a majority of the time. But it's a mixed-use facility. There are other events that can be held there, and I think that they need to think about that more than they do. There's some tunnel vision. And, yes, he referenced, you know, the Music City Bowl and concerts, and it does feel like there have been – even though in its history there have definitely been concerts there, but we've had more, you know, over the course of the last few years, and there were supposed to be a ton there this summer. I mean, hey, think about how many that were announced.
Oh, they've definitely done more summer than they've ever done with it. But, I mean, the last time I checked, they didn't build that stadium on their own with their own money. If they did, we wouldn't be having this conversation, because they can do whatever they want. But I know I was here. I don't remember that being the case. That was not on their dime.
No, it wasn't. And I know that, you know, stadiums are expensive. The ones that, you know, we have seen in the last few years, whether it be in Atlanta or L.A., Las Vegas that opens this weekend, I know that those are not cheap by any means. And you don't necessarily have to go.
$4 billion in L.A. $4 billion.
You don't have to go that extravagant.
But why? Didn't they have to speed up the process? Because they were trying to get it in before this season?
I don't know. It took 4 years. I don't know how much they sped it up.
Or maybe, was that Vegas? One of them.
Vegas. They got delayed. SoFi got delayed by a year.
Took 4 years to build the stadium in Los Angeles.
So they were trying to squeeze it. And, of course, if they knew that they weren't going to be able to have anybody in the stands early on, but they paid a lot of money, kind of like the Sounds did, right? They got behind, and they had to speed up the process. And so they paid more money to speed up the process.
Yeah,
I think they did that in Star Wars, too, the Death Star, the second Death Star.
Well,
Darth Vader kind of dropped the hammer at the beginning of the movie.
So we'll let you do that. You haven't done a Star Wars reference in a while.
That was good. Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, you know, they refer to that as the Death Star. But I'm not saying you have to go that extravagant. But with this city on the rise and all these things that can come here, you do have to understand that if you go with a renovation – I'm sure it would look nice. I'm sure it would be better than what it is right now. And you could add some different events to it. But you're not going to get the big marquee events that this city should have the opportunity to host and is capable of hosting. If they build something, you know, like that, I mean, how many times do you see the new stadiums within, 2 years? They got a Super Bowl or a college football playoff or – you know, I bring up WrestleMania
it's
all the time.
Given. Sure, it's a given.
Yeah. I mean, they would. And could Nissan Stadium host something like a WrestleMania? Sure, they could. But they've.
It's risky.
Well, if they want to change.
Not as much as you think it is.
If you want to change their mindset, then it's really got to be the city then that goes to the Titans and says, let's shoot higher. You know, we want something bigger. They're going to have to get involved in that. So if it's not driven by the Titans, it seems to – I don't know that the city's going to drive it anytime soon. So I think this is where they're at.
I think that's a fair point.
But maybe in another year or two when we come out of this, we can start looking a little higher. But does it also not illustrate how the baseball group is still so far from reality in terms of really – starting conversations with key people to really make a project start in terms of a park, right? They're not even at the beginning stages. They put that rendering out a few months ago, And, of course, this is before Dave Dombrowski came in and stuff, so you can't hold it against him. But that whole thing seems pretty far-fetched, right? So what is the plan? I want to know what they're working on. But I like the term that Burke used was confusion. There seems to be a little confusion with where to put the stadium. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's like you can't put it right on our campus.
Yeah. But again, to your point with the Titans, I mean, if the city wants a baseball team, the city can make it happen.
Well, the city is going to have to jump on board.
Yeah, I mean,
and they would have to at least be a catalyst, even if says we're going to pay for the stadium, which would be music to the city's ears. But they're still going to have to work with the city.
Get the land and all that. Yeah. I get it. I understand that. But the city has to want to do it. And that's my point, that if the city wants these things, which right now, not hearing a whole – and
it's on the back burner.
And I understand right
now. On this current mayor's watch, I don't see any of that being a reality.
Right. And in 2020, okay, you have the 2020 excuse, but even before that, it was – I mean, how many times have we been talking about the fairgrounds? We brought it up with Alex Bowman, and NASCAR is sitting there. They told us at their banquet, it's not really up to us. You got it.
We've made it abundantly clear. We're ready to go. Let us pull the trigger. Give us the okay.
And then what? You know, it's kind of like you sit around and it'll happen, and then here comes Dover in the Super Speedway, like, we got nothing going on. Come on over here. Hang with us. Okay, sure. We'll do that. So there's a little bit on the Titans. There's a little bit on Nashville. And that if they want to go next level, then they got to get together and go, all right, this is not going to be cheap. We understand that. But we got to do this because it's best for both parties. That's my two cents. Darren, I know you and I are pretty much on the same page with that. And Willie, I think you are too. I think you obviously want what's best for us. So I guess I don't understand, but I'm also not in those rooms. You know, I'm not a CEO, so I don't know everything.
Let's go.
Well, I'm just trying to say that the point the world doesn't revolve around only sports, even though our world does. And so you have to put it in the context of all the things that our city needs. And it's an astronomical cost. It would be a huge cost and investment to build it.
And it's an astronomical economic impact for the city as well.
I don't disagree with that.
Did you see the NFL draft? Did you see what that did for the city?
Yeah, we got it without building it. We didn't have to build a new stadium to get that.
Right, but it's stuff like that that changes the whole economic. I mean, there's a reason everything was, before COVID, was blowing up downtown. Money was flowing. They had money trees in the back. Everybody was growing money trees. It's what it'll do. The economic impact would be through the roof. It would be astronomical with all these huge events. We've never had anything, though, the ones we're talking about, we've never had anything that big because those aren't events for one day.
Right. No, nobody would dispute that. But it's a huge investment where somebody's got to write a check and build that thing.
Takes money to make money. Yeah. And you use the phrase that the world doesn't revolve around sports. I actually disagree with that. Tell me a city that hosts all these major events that doesn't have a major sports franchise that has helped, you know, bring that along. I mean, Vegas before 5 years ago would be the, or 3 years ago would be the only example that you really could give, but major example. But all these major cities that are hosting these events, it's happening because of the facilities that they built for their sports teams, and they're hosting events that aren't related to sports.
Let's go to Nate, who's called in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
That last part of the interview was disappointing, like Darren said. Do you think we would have a different conversation if there was a Power Five college football team like Tennessee or Michigan, their stadium, you know, either where Vanderbilt is or you know, somewhere close to where the Titans play in Nashville. Do you think there will be a different conversation? Because I feel like they don't really want to build a new stadium, because I feel like they would want to put it where Nissan Stadium is, and I really don't think they want to go play at Vanderbilt.
Well, I don't know what that would have to – I don't know what the reference of Tennessee or Michigan being in our backyard – I don't know what that changes.
Bigger stadium than Vandy. Having more than, I don't know how big Vandy Stadium is, but
Nate, let's just be real with this. If we're going to have a real discussion, for the last decade, I don't know how many Titans games would be Vanderbilt Stadium sellouts.
Okay, I don't know.
We're not
how,
back.
How
we're not
Vandy
circa.
Is.
We're not circa 1999. I know it's gotten way better here the last couple of years with them winning and having success. And it's a shame that this has hit, because coming off the, you know, an AFC championship run, I would suspect that ticket sales would be up and attendance would be up, going building off of that. But who's kidding who? There's been a whole lot of home games in the last decade plus that couldn't sell out Vanderbilt Stadium.
Yeah, like I said, I just kind of thought
Vandy Stadium was
a little smaller.
Yeah, so no, I understand. Well, it is. It's smaller as in the locker rooms are not conducive to hosting an NFL team. I mean, they've already been through that. They did it for 1 year, and it was – I don't think disaster is a right word. That's a little strong. But, I mean, they had to – you know, the visiting team had to basically conduct any business outside of the locker rooms because they were too small. But basically, you had to get showered and then step outside and talk with the media. It was just, it wasn't big enough to house. So, yeah, there are those issues. But, yeah, and I don't disagree with them wanting, they're on a prime piece of real estate. I don't fault them for wanting a stadium right where it is today. I do think it's a great location when you think about downtown and the landscape and or the skyline and right there on the water, you know, but I don't know. I don't know how you get past that. If that truly is the hang up, then say it. I'd like to hear somebody say that. Like, we don't want to go play somewhere else because we would want it to be exactly where it is. Have I missed that? Have they said that? Because I don't dispute what Nate is saying. But I don't know that the Titans have come out and said, hey, our biggest hang-up is we don't want to play somewhere else while the brand-new stadium is being built on the exact piece of property Nissan Stadium is on.
He didn't say that specifically. He did say that the real estate, the location of the stadium is perfect.
Yeah, it is.
And I would agree with that.
I don't disagree with that at all.
And you would have to do something about that, even if you built it right next door. Which is what, like the Reds, for example, and the Bengals in Cincinnati, they did that. They basically said, we're going to build one while the other one's right next door. Shea Stadium was there. It was torn down eventually after they built Citi Field. So
the Rangers' new ballpark is built right next door.
Yeah, right next door. So that has been done.
The Atlanta Stadium was built right next door.
Yep. Yeah, it was right next to the Georgia Dome. They were just sitting there. I got to go through my pictures, but I actually have a picture of both of them side by side before they tore the Georgia Dome down. So that part can be done. I mean, Cincinnati, they've done it. I mean, it's you can make a list. They could do that for a couple of years, however long it would take. This could be silly, what I'm about to say. I'm just going to ask. Do you think that some of it is Nissan Stadium? That was Bud's vision, Bud Adams, when he moved the team. That was the stadium that was built when he moved them here. Is there a sense of holding on to that from Amy Adams Strunk's point of view? Of, hey, this was what my father built, so let's just bring it up to the standards of 2020. Or am I silly thinking that way?
I mean, it's a really simple. It was cheap. It was done. Look, at the time, that's they're less than $300 million to build that, which is absurd when you think about it. I mean, you can't even build an arena for that anymore. No less a football stadium. But it's a pretty basic stadium. Is that fair to say? I'm not trying to be mean. It's just a pretty basic, but they also paid a basic price. I have no clue if what you're saying is in play, Chase. I would find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
Because quite honestly, Amy Adams Strunk has been a better owner than her father.
Agreed.
She's done more in this market in a much shorter time than her father ever did. So I don't know if that's in play or not. I hope not, because that's really?
I'm trying to look at...
You're hanging your hat on that stadium?
Right.
Like, it served its purpose. It was the right thing to do at the time. But obviously the city and the market and everything has changed since then.
What I would like to see, though, is the Titans, what they could do. Now, this is a double-edged sword, because for what we would want in a perfect world, you know, this state-of-the-art, brand-new facility, which Burke Nihil basically said is never going to happen. He said it's not going to look like the Los Angeles Stadium. But I would love them to take the initiative and unveil a plan, because it's just kind of like, yeah, we'll get to it. We love our stadium. You know, there hasn't been a 5 years from now, here's what we want it to look like.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of laid some things out, but I'd love to see a more specific plan of what they do want to do. And then we can all say, well, that's a great idea, or, well, can we do more?
Yeah. Craig in Mount Julian is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Craig, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I know you said you could build them side by side, but you can actually build it like they built the new Busch Stadium. I was living up there during the Pujols era, and when they replaced that stadium up there, they built three-quarters of the stadium around, or all except one little section where the old stadium was basically encroaching onto the new stadium. So they completed that whole stadium while the other stadium was being used. And then when the season was over, they imploded the old one and then finished that last quarter section of the new stadium. So another thought.
Yeah, that is very true. That did happen in St. Louis. Yeah,
so, it looks great.
You guys have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
I was looking at, so Raymond James Stadium in Tampa was built around the same time as Nissan Stadium. I don't know if either of you guys have been there for a Super Bowl
or
anything.
I have not been to Raymond James Stadium.
I've been there. I've been by it. I just haven't been in it.
I did go to many a game at the Big Sombrero, the precursor to Raymond James Stadium.
So Raymond James Stadium they broke ground in 96. And it was, so again, around the same time, $168.5 million. In comparison, Nissan Stadium was $290. And they were, you know, same era. But I feel like, and I know it's Florida, so it's, the weather's obviously better. You know, they've hosted Super Bowls. But would you say that those two are, that's the best comparison? Just because of, but they've put a lot of money into it. I mean, they've renovated it quite a bit, or given it a facelift in the last few years. And I know here, it's, again, if it's an outdoor, you never know what the weather's going to be in February for a Super Bowl. But
we'll pick up this discussion on the other side to close out hour number two. Plus, there's news on Chris Godwin, Bucks wide receiver. If you have him in fantasy, speaking of Tampa, we'll tell you what that is on the other side as well. You just made the list coming up at noon. We'll be back. Looks like Bucks head coach Bruce Arians has said wide receiver Chris Godwin is still in concussion protocol. So still no word on his availability for Sunday's game versus the Teddy Bridgewater Panthers. That's what Chase calls them. But Arians considers him to be doubtful.
Let's see. I'm going to go into my fantasy lineup
Not good. Because I have him in two leagues.
I have him in one league.
Good at all. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, there's more people that would like to weigh in on this. Let's see. Kyle is called in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kyle, what's up?
Oh, man, I'm not on the radio. Okay. Okay, the original design for Nissan Stadium was to have it turned more so you could have the national skyline through one of the end zones. And they couldn't do that because as of the bedrock situation, so they had to swing it a little bit. So you don't have the bat tower you know, in, through the end zone, which would be the perfect aesthetic photo op, I guess.
There's rock in Nashville?
I think so.
Huh.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think there is. But, yeah, but they had to turn it. Their original plan, like y'all were talking about the baseball stadium and whatever, yeah, it looks awesome until you put it down and it's on, you know, Nissan's campus. But, yeah, they had to turn the Nissan Stadium because of bedrock or something when they started building it. And it would have been a perfect shot through one of the end zones of the back tower and all them. But, yeah, they had to turn that.
So, they can't blow up the rock. They dynamite all these neighborhoods they built.
They needed the bedrock, and they didn't have it.
Didn't
have it. It wouldn't support it because it was so close to the river.
Ah, I got you. Okay.
I think so. But that was 20 years ago. I'm thinking 20 years ago. But, yeah. But I think we do need a new stadium. But I was there last year when we beat the Chiefs. I'm happy about that. But I don't think it's a necessity right now. I really don't.
Okay.
I think the stadium, it suited everybody's purpose last year. It should suit everybody's purpose when we start playing again. Okay. When we start able to go again.
What if they would have lost to the Chiefs? Would you have felt different about the stadium?
here's the thing. It was 2 minutes ago. Me and my uncle had left, so we thought it was over.
Oh.
And then they blocked a punt, and then we're 50 yards outside the stadium, and we hear the Gannons go off.
Oh,
I'm not going to miss another.
Yeah, you're that guy.
Yeah. I'm not going to miss another game. I'm going to stay for the entire thing. I don't care if we're down by 20 with 2 minutes to go. I'm staying for the entire game. But
right.
Thanks a lot, guys. I love y'all.
All right, thanks. Have
it
a great
was
weekend.
Pretty miraculous.
Till the bitter end.
They beat the Chiefs.
That was, yes, no doubt.
Like we like to talk about the games they blew because they didn't make kicks. They were pretty fortunate to win that game.
No, we've talked about it this week, the crazy finishes that they had going back to just last year.
Yeah, the Chargers game, the Chiefs.
Crazy finishes.
Even in Indy, the blocked field goal run back for a touchdown, that doesn't happen every week. And the struggles of Vinatieri certainly played into their hands.
I mean, even when they went across the pond in London, they still had crazy finishes. I mean, they couldn't get away from
those.
They like crazy finishes.
That was one of those games that I had an opportunity to go, and this was before I retired.
You went to London?
No, the Chiefs game. That was before I retired from Broadway, so I wasn't feeling great that morning. I decided not to go, and then I regretted it once I watched the game. Like, man, that would have been fun. But
I don't think anybody really buys your retirement thing. You kind of feel like a boxer right now. They retire about 7 times before they officially are done with boxing.
I was going to go with Brett Favre, but, you know.
Or
whatever.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre is a good example.
The Brett Favre of Broadway.
Any chance for Wrangler jeans commercials anytime soon?
Hey, I'd take that. Yeah. I would take that paycheck.
A Wrangler jeans endorsement anytime soon?
Comfortable jeans.
Let's go to Barrett down in the borough. He is called in on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Barrett, what's up?
Word on the street is Mike Tyson is getting back in the ring. There's some training footage going around where he knocked out his own trainer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can look it up. The guy's got all the pads on, looks like an umpire, and he's hitting the big gloves on his hands and hitting him in the chest, and he jacks him right in the face and drops him.
Wow. Okay.
But so I don't know if you guys have broached this quite yet, but it's very simple to me. Look at Pittsburgh as your model, the big river there. Cincinnati tried it, but it's just not the same because that interstate's running right through there, and you got to go over, under. Cincinnati's really weird. I just don't like it at all. But you guys have been up there many, many times, and you've been in them stadiums, and there's not hardly nothing in the world quite like it. Three Rivers sat there, baseball to the north, football to the south. You got Justin Timberlake and this billion-dollar baseball people. Have them all get together, make what's Nissan now, the big parking lot, just like where Three Rivers sat. It's 40 acres of Steeler fan heaven. You know,
by the way, we're leaving one other team out of that division. Cleveland did the same thing.
Yeah.
They built the stadium right next to the mistake on the lake. Municipal.
Right, absolutely.
Municipal.
And it's a real pleasant place to be up there. So, I mean, there's models out there. They just are too cheap to do it. You've been pushing for this for a long time, Darren, and I have to agree with you 100%. If they want to ever have anything, they need them both. And this is the perfect time with all this baseball people in town with all that money, and they seem to be real serious about it. So it's time to collaborate and get rid of the eyesore. Gentlemen, have a great weekend.
I like that word. Thank you, Barrett. You too. Collaborate.
Nick Barnowski of the Nashville Predators tweets me and says, "No way you're retired from Broadway."
No, I don't. I don't.
Nick would
Nobody's
know.
Buying it.
Nick would know.
He knows the lay of the land.
Because Nick is in his prime. Nick is out there. He knows the scene.
He's been visiting those boxing gyms, so he knows whether this is a serious retirement or not.
I think this is more of a, I just am looking for more of a low-key thing. It's not that I'm retired from going out. It's just I don't know if I can handle the hustle and bustle of Broadway, especially what it's going to be like after COVID. I mean, it's going to be.
Basically, what you've done, this is kind of the way I look at this. You've announced your retirement in a lockout. That's what you've done. Like, basically, yeah. Broadway hasn't been open for 6 months, and you're like, "Hey, I'm in retirement. I can't do this anymore." It's like, well, yeah, but nobody's been able to do it. But Broadway hasn't been Broadway. So when it opens back up, you're telling us you're still in retirement? I find that hard to believe. You've announced your retirement in a lockout.
Well, because and here's the thing. I hadn't even before the lockout, as you call it. That's a good analogy. I hadn't been on Broadway in a while. The Nashville Knights have
Well, nobody's been,
quite been
on Broadway in a while. That's my point.
But I'm saying even before that, before the shutdown, the last time I went out, it was more of a Midtown situation. So
that's still considered that's still considered going out, is it not?
Yeah, but that's
downtown.
What I've been saying. Well.
And you're going to say, "Oh, it's Midtown." You're literal. That's still downtown. Come on.
You're right. We'll see. Talk to the family. Talk to the friends.
I think you're already waffling. I think you're ready for a comeback.
Well, hey, if I do, I will have the press conference on this show.
Okay.
Look, Broadway's going to just keep opening up more. We're going to see a comeback before 2020's over. You'll have a scheduled fight here soon.
Look,
I'm pretty sure.
You will know because you two will receive a piece of paper, and all it will say is, "I'm back."
All right, we'll be back, and we'll start the third hour with You Just Made the List. Also, Joseph Newgarden at 12:30. More to come here on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.